Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we have a great show with a wonderful guest who is extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing the topic of multifamily legal and operations trends. Joining me in the studio is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, nationally sought-after educator and speaker, and a consultant. He's the fabulous Bill Nye, the founder of Bill Nye Apartment Guy and Bill Nye Training. Welcome, Bill.
Thank you, Paul, and good morning.
So good to have you here. You always come with some great information. And, you know, one of the things that makes me very jealous is the fact that you're constantly doing educational sessions and speaking with companies and associations across the country. So you really have your ear to the ground on what's going on in the industry and these trends that you're seeing for both the operations and legal trends. This is real-time information that you're getting out in the field right now. And, you know, one of the big concerns that we've seen post-pandemic, if we are post-pandemic, is, and all through the last couple of years, has been the shortages in staffing. And someone gave me a number that really kind of stuck out of my mind, that nationally it seems like there's a 57% turnover in maintenance personnel right now, which is really hard to overcome, I would think. So what are you hearing around the country about these staffing shortages?
Yeah, to your point, you know, and I've been speaking about this for a long time, and I've been trying to give solutions to prevent the problem, but I don't know that we've done a good job of actually prevented it. So now here we are, we're living in the middle of it. And, you know, to your point, just in the last 3 months, I've been working with clients, whether it's speaking, training, or consulting in Colorado, Arizona, Utah, Idaho, Nevada, California, of course, here in Texas, Louisiana, South Carolina, North Carolina,
Pennsylvania,
Pennsylvania, yeah. Ohio. So mm-hmm. I've been all over the country, and mm-hmm. I spent a lot of time talking to CEOs and COOs and presidents, and really just trying to understand what's going on. And of course, this is the forefront of what everyone is talking about. It's their big concern, and it isn't getting any better. There doesn't seem to be any break in the situation, and you know, now people are writing about what they call quiet quitting. It's a new term that, you know, a year ago, nobody ever used the term quiet quitting. And, you know, what does that mean and how does it affect you? But at the end of the day, whatever we call it, whether we call it quiet quitting, the great resignation, you know, I call it the great awakening. Regardless of what we call it, the real issue is, what do we do about it? And it's interesting, as I've been traveling around the country, and I was in Pennsylvania recently, and so I did a two-city stop. I was in Pittsburgh, and then, you know, beautiful Lancaster, which is known for, you know, Amish country, mm-hmm. and it's absolutely beautiful. And so I had dinner while I was in Lancaster and had a really interesting conversation with a vice president, with a regional manager. And, you know, what they shared with me is what I'm starting to see around the country. So they have 8 properties. This particular company has 8 properties in Westchester, Pennsylvania, which is on the eastern side of the state. And I think they said one of these properties was smaller, and by smaller, I mean 80-ish units, mm-hmm. somewhere in that area. The rest of them are, you know, over 100, over 200. One of them is even more than 300 units. And so they have 8 properties in this little borough, Westchester, and they have 1 leasing office. Mm. So out of all of those properties, 8 properties, they're running everything out of 1 office because they don't have the manpower to, right. to man 8 properties. And so they've consolidated it and turned that into 1 central office. And you know, it's becoming more and more common to do that because we have to. We don't have any choice. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've got sister properties that are within driving distance of one another, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes away by car, and you can't staff them, you know, what do you do? How do you overcome that? And so I think the central leasing office is actually starting to really catch on in a big way. And you think about it, single family rentals is really exploding in this country. It's becoming very popular. There's a big demand for it. And that's how they operate. And, you know, I think multifamily operators are beginning to realize that, hey, we're better off with four or five really good, committed, skilled, reliable people than we are, you know, eight people that, you know, we can't count on.
Yeah.
You know, they don't show up for work when they're supposed to. And so, you know, this central leasing office, I think it's going to become more mainstream. And you have to ask the question, you know, why do we have people at our properties? First of all, why are we open 7 days a week?
Yeah.
And I've always wondered that. And so more companies are looking at that. That's certainly, if you can close your office a day, 2 days a week, that certainly impacts the amount of personnel that you need. But, you know, why do we have to have people, you know, in every office all day long? And I think companies are really starting to look at those man hours and how they're spent. What are they doing? And can we consolidate? And look, if somebody wants to see an apartment and it's 5 minutes down the road, come here. We'll take all your information. We'll scan your ID. We'll do everything we need to do. And then we'll meet you there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, in the end of the day, what's the inconvenience in that?
Right.
I mean, if you're going to look at a single family rental, that's how it operates, right? You're not going to find an agent at every single family home.
Right.
If you want to go see two or three houses, you're going to have to get in your car and you're going to have to drive from house to house until you find the home that you want. And so I'm starting to see this really catch on. And I think, honestly, it's a good solution. I think it's something that's going to become more and more mainstream. Fewer people working dedicated to every multifamily asset in the portfolio.
Do you find that any of the people you've spoken with, is there a hesitancy on their part to try and go that route as far as a centralized leasing location because their competitors might not be doing it? They may have people on site, and they feel like if they don't have someone on site, they could lose that prospect. Do you hear any of that?
Yeah, that's interesting point, Paul, because during this dinner that I referenced, that was a big part of the conversation was the pushback.
Mm-hmm.
Not just our competitors aren't doing it, but also just some pushback, you know, internally on, well, we've never done it this way.
Sure, yeah.
And, you know, I've always chuckled at the, well, we've never done it this way argument. You know, whenever somebody says to me, well, we've never done it this way, I always say, no, I understand. When I get home, I light a match, lift up the glass globe, and light the kerosene lantern so I can read a book. You know, no, I walk in and I flip a switch.
That's right.
You know, and if we live by, we've never done it this way, we'll travel by horse and buggy and we'll read by lantern.
Exactly.
And that takes me to another point, which is if you really pay attention to the business partners out there, you know, that service our industry, you know, AI is a big push.
Yeah.
And that's because they see the need and they know their clients have a need that maybe we're not really in love with the solution today, but we're kind of being pushed into adopting these solutions. And you know, nobody wants to talk about downscaling, manpower because it makes your current team feel as if you don't value them. So you got to be really careful in the messaging there. But, you know, if we don't have the people to answer the phones and to tour, you know, what's the solution? And AI is in a big way is a solution. And we're going to see more and more AI replacing, you know, empty desks, empty chairs.
Yeah. And I think that it's the pandemic really kind of brought a lot of that technology to the forefront where it was out there. But a lot of people weren't really looking at it seriously, from what I was told by some people over that time period. But they were forced to because they couldn't man properties, and so they were doing. That's when the virtual touring and you know all the other different technologies started to come in. And I think you're right. I don't think that these companies would be spending the kind of money they spend to develop these products if there wasn't a real need out there.
Yeah.
That may not be there fully today. But is that they see is coming So
yeah, you know, the old saying is, for every action, there's a reaction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of what we're going to talk about, you know, on today's show is a reaction to actions, many of it government imposed, but not just with the staffing shortage, but there's also, we'll talk about this as we go through the program today, but also a lot of legislative stuff that's, some of it is really big and it's going to have a huge impact. But, you know, really what we're seeing today is we're not being proactive. We're reacting. Mm-hmm. We're reacting to problems that, quite frankly, people just, they're looking for any answer to solve these problems.
Yeah, no that's definitely something that they're doing. Well, we're going to break it here. We're going to be back right after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress. Stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to RevLMC.com to find out more. That's RevLMC.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and AppFolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Control by Net provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control by Net only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
We're back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we're discussing the topic of multifamily legal and operation trends. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a nationally sought-after educator, speaker, and consultant, the amazing Bill Nye, the founder of Bill Nye Apartment Guy and Bill Nye Training. Before we jump back into the conversation, I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or simply listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Bill, talking about multifamily legal trends and operations trends, legal trends, criminal background checks, that's a big topic out there right now. What are you seeing across the country with that?
So right around 2014, when Julian Castro was the HUD secretary under the Obama administration, they came out with some new guidelines for the multifamily industry. And it was a little confusing in the beginning, because what they said was that we can't treat everybody the same. Mm-hmm. And that caused a ripple effect, because people said, wait, what? You know, according to the Fair Housing Act, aren't we supposed to treat everybody the same? And now you're saying we can't treat everybody the same. And this is pertaining to criminal background checks. So a lot of your listeners will remember around that time, everybody started to scramble to come up with a workaround or a way to be in compliance, if you will. Because here's what they saw. At that time, Secretary Castro said that the industry was using criminal background checks as a means to discriminate against people of color. So basically what they cited was the statistics of our overall population and percentage in our population of black and brown people versus the percentage of people in our population that are incarcerated. And that the disparity was huge. And so they looked at that and said, well, we're using criminal background checks for one reason only. We don't want to rent to black and brown people. And of course, that's just absolutely absurd. You know, any decent human being would say, absolutely not. Don't care about that. We just need you to be qualified and that's it. So why do we do criminal background checks? Well, we feel an obligation to protect. You know, you've got mom living in apartment 3 and she's got 2 young kids, and mom in apartment 3 does not want to live next to a registered sex offender. I think every reasonable person can say, yeah, I can understand why that would be a concern. Well, you know, so we made all these changes and we started tiering our criminal background checks. Not all crime is considered, you know, is equal, right? And so, you know, somebody that was pinched for, you know, marijuana 10 years ago was certainly not on level with somebody who was, you know, convicted of a, you know, sexual assault 6 months ago or 2 years ago, whatever, you know, the case might be. And so we tiered our criminal background checks and we thought, okay, we've put this to bed. You know, they made it clear how they wanted us to treat this. We as an industry got on board, got behind it, wrote new policies, new guidelines. Everything is going fine until it's not. And so, you know, coming out of the pandemic, as you mentioned in the outset, you know, people started looking at homelessness in this country because, you know, it's a problem. And what's the answer? How do we solve homelessness? And that's a big, you know, and if you and I could solve that, you know, we would be two of the greatest people in the world and we'd be absolute geniuses. But it's a huge problem. And I don't know that anybody knows how to solve it. And so I think the only way, you know, it's like the old adage, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So how do you solve homelessness in America? And I think we'd all love to solve this problem. I don't think any of us, you know, want to see people living on the streets. And so how do you solve it? And I think it's like eating elephants, one bite at a time. You can't solve it with one solution. You have to come up with many solutions. Some of it's, you know, drug abuse. Some of it's mental illness. You know, there's a lot of causes to homelessness, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the government is now looking at homelessness and saying, well, one of the problems is that the multifamily industry is causing this problem. You know, we're supposed to be housing providers, and we're actually causing homelessness as opposed to putting people in homes. And so there's a lot of push now coming out of Washington to ban criminal background checks, to actually add a felony conviction as a protected class. Because you think about it, we've got 7 federally protected classes today. And one could argue that 6 of them, you have no choice over: race, color, religion, sex, national origin, disability. You know, one could say, well, you do have a little bit of control over familial status, to have children, not to have children. And I suppose that's true. But then you have felony convictions. Well, that's typically a choice, right? You know, I look back, I'm 61 years old. I look back at my life and I can honestly say, I don't believe I've ever willingly or unwillingly committed a felony. I've just tried to live my life to stay clear of the law, right? Mm-hmm. To just be a good citizen. But what they're saying is that folks are coming out of prison and can't find a place to live because our industry discriminates against them. We don't want to rent to people with felony convictions. Well, you know, I think we've done a good job since 2014 of changing that and saying, well, you know, depending on what you did, yeah, we'll still rent to you. You know, if you, you know, it just depends on the seriousness and how long ago you committed this felony. And they're saying, well, you know, now they're saying, well, that's not good enough. It was 8 years ago, but now here we are coming out of a pandemic and a lot of people have lost their homes because they lost their jobs. And so homelessness is on the rise and we have to solve it. And one of the solutions is we have to stop multifamily operators from doing criminal screening. And it's already passed in some cities. There are cities in the country now. There are some cities in New York, for instance, where you can't do a criminal background check, period. It doesn't matter. If they meet your credit score criteria, then that's it. The screening ends there. and you have to rent to them.
So, so we're seeing that the people you're talking to around the country are seeing this as being something that's going to be a big issue coming up.
Yeah, it's going to be a very big issue. And of all of the topics that or conversations that I have with operators around the country, this is the one that makes them most nervous, because this is the one where they feel like there's no alternative. It's just simply stop doing criminal background checks and just hope like crazy that you don't rent to somebody who then commits some heinous crime at your community.
Yeah.
And it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? It's going to happen.
Let's talk a little bit about income. I know that's something that you've been hearing a lot about. Talk about that.
Yeah, so this one kind of feeds into the criminal background check, and this is one that doesn't seem to be on people's radar, and a little surprised by that, but this is really important. So another conversation that's happening, both at the federal and at various state levels, is to outlaw income ratios. Now, pretty much everybody out there has some kind of income ratio, whether it's you got to make 3 times the rent, 2.5 times the rent, you know, something of that nature. And the idea behind this is this has to stop, that income ratios are discriminatory. Now, there are people who are listening and going to say, how on earth is an income ratio discriminatory? Here's the government's argument. I'm going to pose their argument first. So the government's argument is, well, you take somebody who looks like me, you know, a white male, and you take somebody who doesn't look like me, could be a woman, could be a person of color, and we do the same job, that statistically, I get paid more than they do. And I'm not saying that's right, but, you know, those are the statistics. And so what they're saying is, by placing income ratios as part of our qualifying standards, what we're really saying is they want to rent to me, they don't want to rent to that woman or to that person of color. And the way to not rent to them is by having income ratios, so they won't income qualify for the same home that I will income qualify for. Therefore, it's discriminatory and it has to stop. Now, I can't argue against that. You know, these statistics are true and real, and that is the reality in this country. And so what they're saying is that creditworthiness should be all that matters. So if a person's credit score and their payment history is good, why do you care how much they make? If their history proves that they have, you know, that they are a person who takes this seriously and they pay their debts, they pay their bills, then that's all that should matter, and you shouldn't care about some arbitrary ratio. Therefore, the ratio needs to go away, and it should just be based on credit score only or payment history only, which, of course, affects someone's credit score.
And what are people saying about that as far as where they fall down on it with the industry?
Well, it's when I bring this up, it scares people. They're like, Wait, again, because it's one of those things, well, this is how we've always done it. But the truth of the matter is that if you do look at someone's credit score and they have really good credit and, you know, they have really good payment history, you know, I think that a reasonable person, once they kind of get past the shock and say, well, okay, you know, that makes sense, and I'm okay with that. I guess I can live with that. The criminal background one, I haven't found anyone who says, yeah, no, I can live with that. You know, who cares if we can't do a criminal background check any longer? But on the credit score one, I think people will embrace this once it becomes a thing, because it's going to become a thing.
Okay. All right. Well, we are going to stop here for this segment. We're going to be back with our next segment right after this short break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Control Ynet provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control Ynet only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
We are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of multifamily legal and operations trends. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a nationally sought-after speaker, educator, and consultant, the fantastic Bill Nye, the founder of Bill Nye Apartment Guy and Bill Nye Training. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security needs. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry, and CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Bill, one of the things that we talked about during the break was these deposits and fees that people are concerned about now. I think that there's some talk about the government, what do they call them, junk fees?
Yes.
Talk a little bit about what you're hearing on that.
Yeah, so I think it's important that we listen to what's coming out of the White House, regardless of your political affiliation or political support. And sometimes we hear things come out of the White House, and they'll mention, you know, credit card companies or Ticketmaster or the airlines, and we say, well, that doesn't affect us. Well, that's naive. So the Biden administration has been, for a couple of months now, talking about cracking down on junk fees. You know, we're trying to build the economy, you know, from the bottom up, and you know, we want to help the working class. And so, you know, they use the term junk fees. We don't use that term in our industry because we don't believe we have any junk fees, but we certainly have a lot of fees. Now, remember I said earlier that, you know, all of the things we're going to talk about today, it's really a reaction. So for every action, there's a reaction. And over the last several years, we've seen an explosion on property insurance rates and on property taxes. And it has squeezed profits, of course. And so how do operators overcome that? And, you know, the last year or so, we've seen a tremendous windfall in terms of a rental growth. And, you know, one of the things I always caution people is, hey, listen, good for you and celebrate that, but be careful. Don't go too public with, and I see this on LinkedIn from time to time. Somebody will celebrate a $200 rent increase. You know, mm-hmm. Last month we averaged $200, $300. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff that government officials will see or watchdog organizations will see. And they'll say, see, this is exactly why we need rent control. And, you know, and so rent control is certainly something that constantly pops up its ugly head, and you know, and our associations, you know, the National Association and our lobbyist groups have to fight against that. But now that the current administration is talking about junk fees, I think people need to be really careful about what they're charging on top of rent. Mm-hmm. And you know, so when people rent an apartment, I tell my audiences around the country when I'm speaking that when people rent an apartment from you, they move in with two beliefs. The first belief is that if something breaks, you're never going to fix it. Well, why do they believe that? Well, that's been their experience, right? Mm-hmm. The second belief they have is that if you charge a refundable deposit, you're going to find a way to steal my deposit. Mm-hmm. You won't give it back when I move out. Again, why do they believe that? Well, that's been their experience. And so, you know, companies are looking for ways to continue to grow their revenue. And of course, refundable deposits is not a way to grow unless you're operating, in a sketchy way to where you're keeping those deposits. You should never look at that. So we're adding all kinds of fees. We have package locker fees. We have, parking fees, of course, and we have amenity fees, and we have, administrative fees. And we've really grown our fee structure as an industry. But a lot of government agencies view these fee structures as junk fees. Like, well, why are you charging these fees? What are you trying to cover? Obviously, with the application fee, you're trying to cover the cost of a process in an application, not only the cost of the screening, because you're probably paying a third-party organization to screen the applicant for you, but then there's the man hours that your own team spends in processing that. But it doesn't give us unlimited power to make those application fees whatever we want. So I think what I'm saying is we have to be really careful, because now that this is on the federal government's radar, and again, they talk about airlines with hidden fees. They talk about, ticket brokers with hidden fees. But don't be fooled into thinking that we're not on that list of industries that are feeing our customers, under the table without their knowledge. And so, just be really careful with this. This is a situation, Paul, where I think the important thing is that we sell police. Mm-hmm. Because if we don't sell police, guess who's going to police us?
Yeah.
The government will.
Right.
And we never want that to happen. We never want the government stepping in and saying, well, because you guys do this, you don't police yourself, you're charging these exorbitant fees without proving that the fees really cover some other cost, we're going to crack down on you. And it's going to happen if we don't start self-policing. We have to be really careful with this. And they're getting out of control, with some of the deposit programs that are out there that aren't actual deposits and are not real bonds, and they don't really cover anything. And there's a lot of programs out there like that. The resident moves in, they pay hundreds of dollars, and it doesn't cover a penny towards damages. All it does is give them the right to move in. See, I can see where the government will look at that and say, well, that's a junk fee. Mm-hmm. What does it cover? Nothing. It just gives them the right to move in. Those are the programs we have to look at really hard and start self-policing.
All right. Let's talk about revenue management concerns.
So 2 weeks ago, Senators Booker from New Jersey, Senator Klobuchar from Minnesota, and Senator Durbin from Illinois wrote a letter to the DOJ. And they asked the DOJ to open an investigation on revenue management in the apartment industry. And I think this is caused by a couple of things, but rather than really talk about that, talk about the scope of their concern or what they're asking the DOJ to investigate. And what they're asking them to investigate is basically price fixing. So what they're saying is that as revenue management becomes more widestream, we are now colluding together as an industry. So, here in Houston, we have, big national operators, and all of their properties are on a revenue management platform. And then their big competitor is on the same platform. And their other, the next big competitor is on the same platform. And what they're saying is because they're all using the same platform, you're using an algorithm that is eliminating competitive pricing, that it's price fixing. And that these algorithms are now placing all of these apartments that are managed by these large operators who then offer really quality service and reliability, and they're putting them all at the same price. So if you're out there in the market looking for an apartment and you want to live at a quality community that is professionally managed, that offers professional services, you're not going to be able to shop around and find a better deal, because they are all working together with this revenue management platform to fix the price so they're all the same price. So what they're saying is that if you want to get a better price, it's going to force you to go and rent somewhere that doesn't offer the same level of services. And so basically you're going from a Mercedes to, you know, a used Ford Pinto in quality,
right?
Because that's the only way you can find that better price. I don't know that this has any teeth to it. I don't know that it'll go anywhere, but I wouldn't be surprised by an outcome that, as I've shared this with owners and operators around the country, I think it's caused them to think. And that is, remember years and years and years ago, before many of your listeners were even alive, there was the breakup of Ma Bell.
Right.
I think that this may end up being to where the company that now really controls this revenue management platform market, because they had their own and that they purchased their largest competitor, and now they really control that market. I won't be surprised if the outcome of this is you got to split this off. That there's got to be competition in the revenue management platform world. And by you guys controlling 99% of it, there's a couple of small ones out there. There's a company called Revy. Mm-hmm. Greg Warner, friend of mine, founded that company. So there's a couple of small ones out there, but 99% of the companies out there using revenue management all use the exact same one. And it wouldn't surprise me if that's not the outcome.
So basically what you think is going to see happen is that it's not going to be an issue with the operator from the standpoint. Yeah. The operator's is colluding. It's the algorithm that this platform, this revenue management platform, is using. And you think there's a potential for, like, the old Ma Bell breakup, that they'll have to spin off something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, think about the airline industry. They use revenue management for their selling their seats. But Delta has their own.
Right.
American has their own. United has their own. That's not true in our industry. You know, there are a few management companies out there that have their own, but those are very, very rare. For the most part, they're all using their same revenue management platform coming from a third-party vendor.
Okay. All right. Well, we are going to stop here with this segment. We are going to be back right after these messages with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And today we're discussing the topic of multifamily legal and operations trends. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a nationally sought-after educator and speaker, and a consultant to the industry, the incomparable Bill Nye, the founder of Bill Nye Apartment Guy and Bill Nye Training. So, Bill, we've talked about a lot of different things that you're seeing and that you're, people are concerned about across the country that, that you come into contact with through all your training and education and consulting efforts. Let's talk a little bit about question I've got, and then we're going to get to one other thing that, that I know you want to talk about. What do you see with the volatility of the industry with interest rates? What are you hearing about that? Because I have talked with people, and they're saying that it's just cyclical, like it happens every, you know, so many years, like 2008 when we had the downturn in the economy, but people who were got in over leveraged and at a certain point, they're going to end up potentially losing their properties, and there's going to be a big shift and shuffle in the industry. What do you see?
Yeah, this is, I was just in St. George, Utah last week speaking at a state conference. And, you know, I opened by saying that the multifamily investment world has not been turned on its head, but it's leaning sideways pretty seriously. And this is a big part of it is that, you know, the interest rates. And again, it's you know, for every action, there's a reaction. Well, what's the action here? It's inflation. Mm-hmm. And as inflation goes up, we've got to cool the economy. And the way to do this by raising interest rates. And interest rates have been at a record low for many, many years. You know, I at one point, nobody uses LIBOR anymore as an indicator. But, you know, it wasn't that long ago, you know, someone told me that in Europe, you know, the LIBOR index was negative. And, you know, I'd never heard of such a thing. It's like, what do you mean negative? So interest rates have been crazy low for a long time. And so it certainly set the multifamily investment world on fire, where people were buying assets as fast as they could. Of course, now we're at a point where the feds keep raising interest rates. And so, you know, I think what happened, and I tried to caution against this, but, you know, you can't make people listen, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the things that is attractive or appealing to the multifamily world is, you know, you buy an asset and you get 3 years of interest only, you know, debt on the property. Mm-hmm. And so for the next 3 years, you know, you're paying interest only. So you got low debt service. The property appreciates in value. Now it's time for principal to kick in. You refinance that property and you cash out and you distribute those cash to your investors. And man, your investors love you. They're happy because they just got a big check in their mailbox. Mm-hmm. And you get another couple of years of interest only, but now you're carrying more debt. You know, let's say your initial debt was $8.5 million. Now you're carrying $10 million because you did a cash out because the property appreciated. So you cash out, you refinance a property, get a couple more years interest only, looks good, feels good. Couple years are up and, you know, markets are strong. The property is appreciated. And so now it's time for principal to kick in. You don't want that to happen. So what do? You refinance again and you do another cash out. And guess what? Man, your investors love you because they got another big check in the mailbox. But now you have $12.5 million debt on the property. And now we are where we are. And where you want to cash out again, but you can't. And the reason you can't is you can't refinance. Well, why can't you refinance? Because the interest rates have gone up so high. So now you're at a point to where you're paying principal and interest on $12.5 million in debt on a property that you bought 5 years ago for $8 million, which means that your debt service is now just completely choking you. No more distributions to your investors. And, you know, to your point, in some cases, you're forced to do something you don't want to do, and that is you got to walk away from the deal.
Yeah.
And that's why we have to be really careful with this. You know, the cash out event sounds like a really good event. And I'm not speaking against it. And I know there are a lot of mortgage brokers out there that say, this guy's an idiot. He doesn't know what he's talking to. Don't listen to him. I had a broker tell me, gosh, probably in 2007, that I was going to be the reason a developer failed is because of my strategy and my advice. And my strategy and my advice at that time was never take 100% of the proceeds you can get. Always compromise. Give yourself a really good, generous payday, but be a little bit conservative so that when you get out of that interest only period and now you're paying interest and principal, you can you still have healthy cash flow, you know, as the market increases. And I've always lived by that. I think that that's a, you know, you can't have a, you know, both ways, you know, the old saying, can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't do a big cash out and get all the proceeds you can get and then expect when principal hits to have healthy cash flow. When low, when interest rates were low and you were buying an asset at 4% interest, you probably could, but you can't find that today. And, I, you know, I told the audience in St. George last week, I said, if you find a deal on the market with an assumable debt and it's 5% or below, you buy it.
Yeah.
Buy it right now. Now, those are hard to find. There aren't many out there that will allow you to assume the debt. Well, you know, banks don't want you to assume that debt at 5%. They want you to buy it and put new debt on it at 6.5%.
Right.
Well, you can't blame them.
Sure.
But if you can find that deal, you need to find that. But if you really pay attention to announcements, you know, go back a year ago and look at the history on LinkedIn, announcements that you saw on LinkedIn from owner-operators. And what were those announcements? We closed on another deal. We closed on another deal. You know, whether it's an acquisition or a disposition, you know, people were closing on deals left and right. It seemed like every day. When's the last time you saw somebody closing on a deal on LinkedIn?
Yeah.
Announcing that they've purchased a new deal or that they've sold a new deal. I can't remember the last time. It's been months, right?
Right.
And that's because, you know, the increase in interest rates has just been a bucket of water on this market that's been on fire. But unfortunately, you know, this is survival of the fittest, Paul. You know, this is where you thin the herd.
Right.
We're going to find out who knows what they're doing and who doesn't. And there are a lot of people out there that got themselves over-leveraged, bought overpaid on deals, believe that everything is going to be fine. I was having a conversation with somebody that, you know, has invested in tens of millions of dollars in real estate, who said to me, looked me right in the eye and said, interest rates are not going to go up. And I said, you are absolutely wrong on this. I will bet my house on it. Interest rates are going to go up. And what have interest rates done?
Yeah.
They've gone up. And you know, this particular operator is in trouble now. And you know, so we're going to see the you know, survival of the fittest. We're going to find out, you know, who really knew what they were doing and made good deals and who's not. There's going to be a lot of operators out there who are in trouble right now because the debt, you know, principal has kicked in. They had a variable rate loan. Well, if you had a variable rate loan, you know, it may have looked good a year ago, but it doesn't look good today. Right. And if you had a variable rate loan where, you know, now that interest rate has gone up over 6.5%, you're in big trouble. I don't know how you're going to get out from under that deal.
All right. Well, we've got about 2 minutes left before I want to transition to something. And I know you wanted to talk briefly about eviction laws. Tell us in about 2 minutes about eviction laws.
Yeah, real quick. So coming out of the pandemic, of course, we had a lot of people who couldn't pay rent because the government said don't go to work. We had a lot of people who continued to work but didn't pay rent because the government told us we couldn't evict. And so bad debt really piled up. And then we had a backlog, and evictions are at an all-time high. And so what do governments do when they see something like this? So they put the eviction moratorium in place without any forethought as to what the outcome is going to be. For every action, there's a reaction. You don't let us evict for 2 years. Now we're evicting, and they're saying, whoa, we got to solve the eviction problem. I'm actually seeing states now are putting eviction records, they're expunging eviction records. That there's legislation going out there at the state level where states are saying that you cannot reveal whether or not someone's been evicted. And that's going to make our jobs that much harder, you know, to pull somebody's background, their screening, and not have access to that information. You know, we're renting to people who, you know, moved out of the apartment. You know, I was part of a deal where we bought a property here in Houston, and we had one resident owed over $36,000 in back rent.
Wow.
Well, if you want to rent to that person and you don't have access to those records and you don't know, you're the next new sucker, right? You're they're going to do the same thing to you. So, you know, this is something too that's getting a lot of legs, and it scares the heck out of me when states start saying we're going to expunge eviction records. because what are they trying to solve? The homeless problem, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a scary one, but I'm starting to hear that pop up and creep its ugly head, you know, across the country.
All right. Well, we got a lot more we could talk about, but I do want to give you an opportunity to tell our listeners a little bit about what you're working on now, the kind of services that you offer, as well as how to reach you. Give our listeners an idea of all that.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate that. So the easiest way to reach me is my website, which is BillNyeApartmentGuy.com. For years, people have called me Bill Nye the Apartment Guy, and I always hated it. I was like, why can't I just be Bill Nye? Why do I have to be Bill Nye the Apartment Guy? But, you know, one day I just said, I got to embrace this. This is what people call me. So there's no word the in it. It's just BillNyeApartmentGuy.com. It's the best way to reach me. And so I offer a wide variety of services. I'm a keynote speaker, a trainer. I teach many of the NEA designation programs, you know, CAM and CAPS. And I'm also most excited about, I'm working on a book. It's a lot of work, probably about 25% of the way through the book. I hope to have the book ready to be published late spring. The book is going to be called Culture, Are You Creating Chaos or Consistency? And it's going to be about a 14-chapter, 150-page book. Like I say, I'm about maybe a third of the way through. I've got about 50 pages written so far. Really excited about that. And so, as I said, I hope by late spring that the book will be published and ready for distribution.
That would be great. We're certainly going to have you back to discuss that when that time comes. You know, just I was telling you when you first got here that I went to your website and I went to your client page on your website. And I don't think there's an apartment association in the country that you haven't spoken to or done education sessions for. I mean, you are getting a lot of information when you're talking to these people that a lot of people don't get a chance to get. So certainly are a great resource. And I would encourage anybody to, if you have a need for training or some consulting on what's going on in the multifamily industry, you're certainly a wonderful resource to have. So. Great to have you on the show. Look forward to having you back again soon. And we are going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.